following program was pre-recorded. To ask a question on the air, call 1-800-229-3000 Monday through Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific. Welcome to New Life Live, the premier place to receive free advice from Christian psychologists and counselors for the mental, emotional, relational, and spiritual challenges you face. Since 1988, we've offered compassionate responses that combine God's truth with proven psychological principles to guide you toward healing. Our phone lines are open. Call us now at 1-800-229-3000.
Hi, friend. Hope you had yourself a nice weekend. It's the start of a new work week, the start of a new month full of fresh, new, exciting opportunities. Mondays get such a bad rap all the time. I don't know how Monday deals with all that negativity that gets said about it. Surely, Monday, you have secure attachment, and that's great. Speaking of secure attachment, licensed marriage and family therapist Mark Cameron is here. He wrote a book titled Understanding Your Attachment Style. It's available in the newlife.com store. Parenting expert Dr. Jim Burns joins us too. His new book is When Your Adult Child Strays. Here's the number to call for the next 2 hours, 1-800-229-3000. Mark, what's on your mind to start us off?
Well, hang with me here. I'm going to talk a little bit about sports. Now, most people know that I am a marriage and family therapist, but what many people might not know is that I am a diehard Liverpool Football Club fan, and that's English soccer. People don't know what I'm talking about here now. Over the weekend, Liverpool announced they were sacking their head coach. We say sack. Over here, you say fire. They were firing their head coach who'd only been at the club for 2 years. Now, what is interesting about this is that he only joined the first season that he joined, he actually won the league title. Now, only five other managers in the history of the league have done that. Wow. And they actually brought in two very highly desired players this season, and they did really poorly. He couldn't get them to adjust to his playing style. Now, this is the part that hurts me. Liverpool's biggest rivals are Manchester United. And so think Boston Red Sox, New York Yankees, or Ohio State, Michigan State.
Okay.
Last season, they started off really poorly, and they changed their coach mid-season. And they had their worst finish in 50 years. And then this season, they started off really poorly. And then they changed that coach out, and they did really, really well. So here's the interesting part, is that two teams, same core group of players under a certain coach not doing well, under another coach just changing the tactics, doing really well. And that got me thinking about relationships. Because in my therapy office, I meet with couples every week. They're good people, they're capable people, they're loving people, and their relationships, you know, start off usually quite well, and they each want healthy, secure, connected relationships. And so the potential's there, but potential by itself is not enough. And most couples' relationships fail not because they lack that individual capability, but because they struggle to have that clear strategy to grow together. So I like to say this, that good relationships happen on purpose. They don't happen by accident, meaning that they're built intentionally. We don't fortunately just fall into a good relationship. So, but when there's no plan for growth and repair, couples drift apart, because that's really the natural order of things. Relationships naturally drift towards distance. They don't naturally drift towards intimacy. That needs to happen through intentional partnership and structure. Now, this is the reason why I love attachment work, because it's not just telling people that you got to try harder. It's helping people see the patterns that are keeping them stuck, so that they can learn those skills to create safety, security, and connection. And so when you can understand your attachment style and you can see where things are going wrong, you can learn to have that more secure attachment style. And that's exactly what New Life does at Intimacy and Marriage. We teach people about attachment and where things are going wrong and how to get things on the right track. Now, in team sports, a coach provides that vision and a game plan, and that helps the players be successful together, and the same thing happens in relationships. So if you're listening today and you're feeling stuck, maybe it's not a capability issue, maybe it's a strategy issue. So think about joining us at Intimacy and Marriage in Washington, D.C. next month, July 24th to the 26th, and let us help you get a strategy to get your relationship back on track.
Yes, indeed. And that's still about 6 weeks away, so don't wait that long. Call in right now and get some, maybe some practical tools and tips that you can use until intimacy and marriage. 1-800-229-3000 is our number, and we're going to be in the studio for 2 hours. Sally, you'll be up first.
Hello, everybody. It's Becky Brown. If you want to be part of what God is doing through New Life, we have a matching gift campaign going on right now. We had a group of donors. They believe in the ministry of New Life. They see how our world needs truth, compassion, needs grace, and it needs some clinical expertise. And so they put together a seed for our matching gift campaign of $250,000. So that means every dollar that you give will be doubled up to that amount, and it will make a difference in the lives of so many people. It helps New Life continue to do the work that we've done for close to 40 years. I want to encourage you, if you want to be part of the match, you can go to newlife.com/match, or you can text the word match to 28950 or call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Wherever you are listening, know that your gift will be doubled and it will make such a difference in the lives of so many people. Thanks in advance.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
A new episode of the Everyman's Battle podcast dropped today, and the guys discuss how to treat temptations and emotional storms as dashboard warning lights, not signals to numb out along. Like every episode, this one is packed with helpful and encouraging insights for living a life marked by sexual integrity. Catch it on our YouTube channel at newlife.com, on our app, or wherever you get your podcasts. All right, who needs free advice for themselves or a friend or a loved one? Did someone pour out their heart to you at church yesterday and you weren't sure what to say? Well, give us a call. I know we can help. 1-800-229-3000 is our number. And let's begin with Sally in Sacramento. Welcome to New Life Live. Thanks for calling 1-800-229-3000, Sally.
Thank you for helping me.
Of course.
I'm calling to ask a question and another one that's related. Is codependency and addiction.
Okay. So would that be like is it a one-size-fits-all, would you say?
Yeah.
Is it a yes or no,
Jim? I want to know that because I want to know if addictions actually lead to depression.
All right. Jim, let's start with you.
Well, first of all, Sally, great question, by the way. And it's funny, Mark and I may look at it from a different angle here. I think codependency could become an addiction. I know it's a habit. And oftentimes
habit.
We have a difference between a habit and an addiction. But codependency, speaking as a person who can go in that direction right here. I think mine probably isn't as much addiction as it is that I have a habit and a way of going about doing life on the Enneagram. If you know the Enneagram, I'm a two, I'm a helper. And so that means I just want to help everybody. And I want to help my family and I want to get them out of these messes and, these kind of things.
Me too.
Yeah. So with that, I'm saying that's kind of more my bent. So a way to get out of codependency, because I don't think codependency is healthy, is actually to do some of the same things that you would do with an addiction. Sometimes you need help to get through that. And so I don't know that it matters if it's an addiction or a habit. I see it as definitely something that we need to work on because it's not healthy relationships. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yes, it does. And lately I've learned that having God first in my life has been very strengthening.
Yeah.
Rather than the other things I would get into, usually relationships. That's
right.
Why I'm asking about codependent relationships being an addiction.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
You're saying it could be a habit as well as, it's serious.
Sure it is. And I think we have to treat it as serious, and especially a codependency, because codependency puts you in a somewhat dysfunctional role in any relationship, whether that be with a spouse, a friend, an adult child, your own children, whatever it might be. So, we want to be able to work through that. And like what you're saying is, I honestly believe that when we are leaning into God, when we are in touch with God, I think He helps us get through those kinds of issues. Now, again, whether it be an addiction like sex addiction or porn addiction or, you know, alcohol addiction or whatnot, you know, there are some chemical things in your brain that might be the same, but not probably as intense. Mark? What do you think?
Yeah, Sally, I'm curious. It's a good question, and I'm curious what's going on in your life as to what's making you ask this question.
Well, I counted them while I was waiting. I've had 7 very major periods of depression in my life, but I'm 83 years old, and some of them have been extremely dangerous. I mean, I probably could have died a couple of the times because the depression was so severe. And I've always had God in my life, but not clearly. It wasn't God first, really. It was more like God is here, but, you know, the lines weren't clear. But the more I read about codependency, the more I see that has been a major part of what I'm talking about.
It sounds like you're getting stuck in codependent relationships, and then when you can't really help those people, then it's leading to depression. Is that accurate?
No. That I'm aware of. I'm because I've helped a lot of people. Worked with homeless children and stuff, and I have friends who have very serious problems, illnesses. But heavy-duty depression periods were a brother screaming and yelling and kicking me out of my home and getting papers signed to, you know, that kind of thing. In getting married, and my ex-husband forcing me to have an abortion. Well, he didn't literally force me, but it was a situation like that when I was young. And, you know, relationships, when I'm promised something and then it falls through, and I'm kind of abandoned, then I would go into deep depressions. And it took a long time to pull out of those. And I see, obviously, I can't believe it. I've been working on myself for a long time, and I can't believe that I didn't try to see that pattern. Help for that pattern. Rather than the details that were going on at the time.
And I can see how those situations would cause depression here. It seems like there's a pattern here that you're trusting men who are ending up being controlling or abusive to you. Now, anxiety and depression often go together. So I know you just told me a little bit about depression from these circumstances, but I also hear you talking about codependency. And people who are helpers, as Jim was talking about here, they often rescue others. They often get into relationships where the other person needs them. And they can end up either expecting others to help them out, or they can end up rescuing other people. And each person needs to stand alone in a relationship, meaning there's a we part of us where we are a spouse, or we are a sister or a brother, or we are a son or a daughter. But we also have a me part that is separate and individual. And that part needs to stand alone or be able to stand alone, even though we can still partner together. And so if you're finding yourself stuck in these relationships where it's hard to know who to trust, or you need other people, I would say that probably is the growth work to do, because addictions do start off as habits. It's kind of a fine line to say whether codependency is an addiction. It is an addiction in the sense of you keep going back to doing the same thing over and over again. But the work is, like you said, is to find out what is the deep underlying issue. And I would say that most of the time that is housed in our attachment style. You know, everything that we know we've learned and everything we've learned about relationships, we've been taught by the families that we've grown up in. And so I wonder if you grew up in a family where there was maybe a strong parent who you had to rely on or who was very dominant, and then that has caused you then to seek out some of those similar relationships.
Mm-hmm. Jim?
You know, I was thinking something else too, Sally, and I appreciate that, Mark. I wrote a book on adult children, and in it I have a quiz on codependency, and I put it inside the boundaries chapter. Okay, because we need boundaries with our adult children. We need and sometimes I think that being a person who's a codependent means that you don't have healthy boundaries. And it sounds like with kind of the relationships that you're talking about, you know, that's something that you can work on. Now, you're amazing because you're 83 years old. You're still doing the work. You get the star here at New Life for being the, you know, the caller of the day. Well, you're the first caller. But so you definitely get it for today. But the point I'm saying is you also may want to think through the boundary side, because sometimes people who have codependency don't have healthy boundaries. And boundaries are really healthy to have. We sometimes think that's a negative issue. It's actually not at all. People who are healthy have good boundaries. That might have caused you some of the not having some good boundaries could have caused you some of the pain and the depression and the anxiety, because you know you were walked all over by some of these people.
We have a tip sheet that's available that we're going to send you, Sally, so stay on the phone. And anyone watching or listening, we can send it to you as well when you call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll put the details there in the show notes. The tip sheet is called Depression: Signs, Symptoms, and Solutions. So stay on hold and we'll get you a copy of that. Why do you think popular culture glamorizes codependency? Or it's so funny because right before we started the show, I had a song stuck in my head from like 40 years ago. Okay. And I'm sure there's been other songs since then, but you know, that's the era I grew up in. But, and the lines of the song is, something like, I'm addicted to you, baby. You're a hard habit to break. Being without you takes a lot of getting used to. I should learn to live with it, but I don't want to. So it's like this, you know, like I said, it's like a glamorization of that. We need to be obsessed with somebody. We need to find someone and then just be so obsessed with them. And do you think that's helpful to have that kind of mindset when it comes to, like, would you say that you're addicted to your spouse, that if they left or something, that you would just be, I mean, what do you think?
Well, I don't think it's necessarily glamorization, even though we hear those things in pop culture songs. I think it's more of a reflection than glamorization, because so many people do get caught up in codependent relationships, and we look for, it's called the romantic solution, we look for a relationship to save us, when really there's a deep insecurity on the inside of us, which Sally was talking about, and it's taken her, she said she's 83, it's taken her all these years before she figured out, I keep getting stuck in these same patterns, which is what I was talking about in the opening. We get stuck in these same patterns, and if we can learn to reflect and say, well, what is going on? You know, who's the common denominator here? And what do I keep on doing that keeps getting me stuck? Then we can learn to see what's happening and do something about it.
Right. You know, I'm still getting through the fact that you had that song in your head right before you came on.
Right before. Yes. Yes. And I don't know if I heard it at the grocery store or something. Yeah. And it's been stuck in my head.
But anyway, I'm kind of teasing, sort of. Yeah. just laughing. But, you know, I don't know that addiction is a good thing to a relationship. I think you can have a healthier relationship. There, you know, there's commitment. I'm committed to Kathy. Mm-hmm. I've been committed to her for 52 years. I haven't loved every day. She hasn't loved every day, but there's a commitment. But I don't think being addicted is something that's healthy. And frankly, I think we have to. I think that's the secular world singing a song with just words. I don't know that that's the healthy way to go.
Yeah.
But there is. I mean, there is an issue of commitment and likability and all those other kind of things. But No, I think the secular world has glamorized romance, like you said, Mark. Yeah. And we have to be real careful with that. And I realize we're going past what Sally was talking about, but we have to be really careful not to be addicted to just the glamorization of romance. That doesn't last long in relationships.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Sally, thank you for calling us today here on New Life Live. Stay on the phone and we'll send you that tip sheet that I was talking about. And everyone else that's still on the phone right now, we're going to get to you. We're going to be here for 2 hours today so we can take some more calls. I see Patty, Alicia, Mary, and several more calling in. We'll get to you all either this hour or next. So give us a call at 1-800-229-3000. Go to our website, newlife.com. So many great resources and articles that you can find there. You can also subscribe to our newsletter and our daily devotional. It's a great way to start the day with some good encouragement. You read the devotional in the morning, and then a few hours later, we're on the radio or on YouTube for you to watch, or Facebook, newlife.com, to get all those details. We'll be back.
90% of Christians have trouble with sex, have trouble with marriage, have trouble with communicating because we were not ever taught practical, basic things about intimacy, about marriage, about sex. We did a huge disservice to ourselves.
When you come to intimacy in marriage, you're going to be immersed into a 3-day process.
They taught us a ton of skills about connecting, about how to really help each other to feel seen and heard.
If you've thought, I don't think we can ever change, we're just in this rut and we can't get out, the Intimacy in Marriage Workshop can help you get out of the rut.
The Intimacy in Marriage Weekend is July 24th through the 26th in Washington, D.C. Register online at newlife.com or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and use the code NLL for a discount. 1-800-639-5433.
I think if everyone came earlier rather than later, they could save themselves years of misery and misunderstanding.
Do you need help for life's hard situations?
My husband recently said he wanted a divorce.
I'm confused on what I should do.
I have an eating disorder.
New Life Live answers your questions on relationships, grief, addiction, trauma, anxiety, and much more, all from a biblical perspective with our panel of professional counselors and psychologists.
I learn a lot from your program.
You help so many people.
I appreciate your ministry.
Whether you listen or watch, there are so many ways to connect with us to ask our panel of counselors a question. Call us Monday through Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific at 1-800-229-3000 to ask your question on New Life Live. Or go to newlife.com/radio for other ways to get your question answered.
I'm trying to find help.
I just want to know how to set boundaries.
If it's a sin, what am I supposed to do?
Need a therapist or a coach, a resource or an intensive? Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
So guys, I already mentioned the Everyman's Battle podcast that dropped today wherever you get your podcasts. Let's talk a little bit about the EMB Intensive Workshop that begins this weekend. If you've been battling a hidden struggle with your sexual integrity and are carrying shame that's disconnecting you from your wife, kids, or others, please do whatever it takes to join us at Everyman's Battle in Dallas. We've helped thousands of men identify what's beneath the struggle and equip them with practical tools for real, lasting change. This freedom is available to you, too, and it's worth doing whatever it takes to join us. Look, if finances are an issue, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask about need-based scholarships. You can get all the details about the Everyman's Battle Workshop at newlife.com. 1-800-229-3000 is the number to call us today, and we're going to talk to Patty now, who listens to New Life Live on a podcast in Vallejo, California. Welcome to New Life Live, Patty.
Hi.
Hello. How can we help you?
Thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to ask, is EMDR ever used and effective with an 11-year-old little girl?
Hmm. Mark?
Yeah, can you tell us a little bit about what's going on with your 11-year-old?
She's my granddaughter, actually. She was diagnosed with ADHD earlier this year. She's in the fifth grade, and She's really, really very bright, but she this year has been kind of chaotic because of a focus issue. Mm-hmm. And she's getting counseling through her medical, through the doctors that diagnosed her. They gave her medication, but it hasn't, they haven't found the one that works. And the last one that they gave her, I believe, was Adderall. But she hasn't taken it because she has problems swallowing a pill. So her mom is doing everything she can to try to help her so that she's more successful in school. And I was just wondering if EMDR is something that can be used with an 11-year-old.
Yeah, it's a good question. So EMDR can be used with a child, but EMDR is used for desensitization to something. Now, you're talking about addressing ADHD. EMDR doesn't treat ADHD. ADHD is a focus issue. It's not a trauma or a past experience issue. Now, here's the hard thing about ADHD is people who have ADHD aren't broken. About 10% or so-ish, you know, give or take a couple of percentages. I don't know if we know what the exact percentage here. But about 10% of people have ADHD, so it's actually quite common in that effect or in that sense. And people who have ADHD aren't broken. The hard part is that school requires kids to sit quietly for the most part, listen for long periods of time, and then put up their hands and answer the questions. And people who have ADHD, they're typically antsy, they're fidgety in their seats, they can't focus for that length of time. And really what I find is, you said your granddaughter's 11 in the fifth grade. Both my kids have ADHD too. It really starts to show more fifth, sixth, seventh grade because generally lots of kids are inattentive and can't focus for periods of time. And then when you start to get to these older grades, especially when kids start to get homework or they're supposed to change different classes and different teachers, it starts to show up a little bit more and they can struggle. And so I would say, you have to, your daughter will, and her husband, if she's married, would need to be the biggest advocate for your granddaughter because it's really an understanding teacher and the teaching environment that can really help a kid who has ADHD. Now, medication is helpful too. And there are a few different medications and stimulants like Adderall, usually the first line. But there is a little bit of an adjustment to taking it to finding the right dose. Now, I'm not a physician, so I want to just give that disclaimer out there. But I have heard that about kids not being able to swallow the pills. And I've worked with psychiatrists in the past before, and they've made suggestions like just open the capsules and put them into applesauce or something like that. And that makes it a little bit easier for the kid to ingest. But you speak with your physician first. Don't just go with me with that. I'm just saying that there are some other options out there, but EMDR wouldn't be the treatment for ADHD. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. It does. I was just wondering because I hear a lot about it, and I didn't know if it's used with children for a focus issue or not. Mm-hmm. We're just trying to. Her parents are very. Very supportive, and they are doing everything that they can do. And I just wondered about that little piece, if that would be something that works.
Yeah, and the last thing that I would say here is try and figure out what your granddaughter's learning style is. Everyone has a different learning style. Some people are audible, some people visual, some people are kinesthetic, meaning they need to move around. And a lot of kids who have ADHD are kinesthetic. And so if you can find the right teaching style for her, you may be able to augment that at home, even with homework, to help her learn some of these concepts that she's not being able to pick up in school. But advocate for her. Maybe she needs to sit closer to the teacher or buy somewhere that has less distractions. But usually you can get accommodations for kids who have ADHD too, like longer time on test taking or a room that has no one else in there, things like that.
Yeah. Jim, any thoughts?
No, real quickly, become experts on this. It's funny, our daughter has ADHD. She's now an adult. She's a teacher. And we actually hired a coach who was a kid who could just be there to help her with her homework. That helped as much as, you know,
the prescription that she was taking.
Mm.
Yeah.
Very good. Patty, thank you for calling us today here on New Life Live. More of your calls coming up at 800-229-3000.
I went to Every Man's Battle in 2012. My sexual integrity was not what it should have been. I sought out affairs, whether physical or emotional. Until I came to Every Man's Battle, I didn't understand that would never fill that void.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, affairs, pornography.
The shame and guilt was overwhelming.
For over 20 years, New Life Ministries has been helping men regain their integrity through their one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive.
You will discover what the true root of your pain is, and you will discover how to overcome.
You don't have to struggle any longer. Get help in Dallas, Texas, June 5th through the 7th. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE to register or to find out more. 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com. Use the discount code NLL to save $50.
Every man's battle saved my life.
1-800-NEW-LIFE and the discount code NLL. For over 35 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addiction, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
I found a counselor through New Life Ministries, and it's just been outstanding.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be His.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first steps toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door for a better tomorrow.
To get someone that's competent, that's good at what they do, it's been like day and night compared to what I've had before.
Call 1-800-639-5433. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We've got a matching gift challenge going on right now, and one of our donors has decided to increase their already generous donation by another $50,000, so the match is now at $300,000. So many people are in need of biblical wisdom combined with clinical counseling, and when you give, you are part of life change. We're not asking you to give till it hurts. We're asking you to give because life hurts for many people, and we want to be there for them when they contact us. Please give today and make twice the impact by giving at newlife.com/match, by texting the word match to 28950, or by calling 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Thank you so much for whatever you can do. Back to the phones now, 1-800-229-3000. Let us speak with Alicia in Philadelphia, listening on WBYN. Welcome, Alicia, to New Life Live. Alicia, are you there?
I am here, yes.
Hi, what's your question for us today?
Okay, may I say something? I want to ask my question, but I also feel very compelled to speak on the ADHD caller. Is that okay? Because I have a 15-year-old with ADHD. And I can offer some good advice because she was diagnosed at 10.
Okay.
Three things. One, lots and lots and lots of fidget toys. Two, find something that she can hyper-focus on because that's what they do best. And for my daughter, it ended up being horseback riding. And it also doubled as equestrian therapy, and it worked unbelievable for her, like absolutely amazing for her. So, you know, I would suggest that whatever that is that she likes to hyper-focus on, let her do that. And then absolutely get an IEP and a lawyer immediately to advocate on her behalf, because an IEP without a lawyer is like a cell phone without service. You have to have that backup, because they will sometimes play games, especially today with the education system. And for us, what worked best is online schooling with a coach. Like, I don't know who it was that mentioned that, but the coach has been absolutely incredible.
Okay.
To sit with her and help her focus. So they're the three there are four things that I would recommend.
All right. Well, thanks for that. And what is your question for us today?
Okay. So my question is, if a marriage can recover, 20-year marriage, from multiple infidelities with the same woman over the course of 20 years, on and off, and also how I responded was I would go into like a reactive abuse type state, especially because in between those infidelities, there was struggles with avoidance on his part and severe neglect. So I would then struggle with the neglect where I would just, if I could get negative attention, I would, and I would use very harsh words. You know, the power of life and death is in our tongue, and I would lash out and hurt him almost like in the only ways that I knew how. I never retaliated cheating, but I feel that I definitely, there's definitely been serious betrayal on both our parts. So we both played a role. And that's, you know, it. And then I in-house separated about a year and a half ago. I made the decision, or about 2 years ago, actually. And now I'm at the point where I'm ready to kind of go out the door. He tends to pull me back every time I get to that point, but over 7 years since the last infidelity, we got back together. As far as I know, there hasn't been any since, but there's been severe neglect, and we've maybe had like intimacy about maybe nine times over 7 years. So when I'm like, you talked about drifting apart, either it's natural to drift apart rather than together, and you have to intentionally work at it. Well, I feel that we are like just hanging on by a thread, and is that something that can be salvaged?
So how long have you guys been married again?
20 years.
So it's been 20 years, essentially.
Okay. And his infidelity has been with one woman over that time?
As far as I know, it has been only, but the times when he's been super neglectful towards me, where he's just kind of disappeared and checked out, it would trigger me, and I would think he was cheating again, and then I would really act out. Like, I'm being honest, it's shameful for me to even speak on this, but I absolutely see my part and my role played too.
Mark?
And what is your part in your role? Because you said there's been betrayal on both sides. Are you talking about just the hurt, using mean words?
Correct. Like, pummeling him with my, what I've always been really good with, language and expressing myself through writing, through my tongue. Like, and I would just lash out. Like I said, like I use almost like as a weapon, I weaponized words against him. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Where he's weaponized other things against me too over the years, but I've definitely done that, and I've torn him down. And then it's kind of no wonder too that he doesn't want to, because then when this person would reappear or he would reach out, however it would happen, of course she would be super nice and say everything he wanted to hear, and you know, so, and feed that in him. And also he has a relationship with his mom where he admitted to me once that she was his unrequited love, that he had four brothers, he was the last, and she really didn't have much left for him to give, and so he was always chasing her love. And I think that this woman, I mean, I really thought about this, and I think this woman, she has a master's in psychology. I also, her sister, who doesn't speak to her at all, but I actually was best friends with her sister, told me that she's very good at like reading people and knowing exactly who to become for them.
Okay.
And that's one of the reasons why like everybody in her family just completely disowned her. And I think that she picked up on that.
You know,
she's very, very intelligent and has a master's. And I think she would trigger that chase like aspect in him, or needing him to chase. That's what felt normal and comfortable. And he would just flip back to that.
Well, I think you've got a good level of insight, Alicia.
Yeah.
You really do. And I appreciate that you can also take responsibility for your part in the marriage problems. Now, here's what I would say, and hang with me through this, that marriage problems are always two people. Okay, because there's two people that make a marriage work. But infidelity and affair, the person who chooses to make that decision, makes that choice and goes ahead and commits an affair, they need to own that part 100%. But we need to recognize, too, that the marriage problems it doesn't cause the other person to act out, but it's, you know, the acting out is the symptom of the marriage problem, typically. Okay, so he needs to own that. And whenever there's an affair, there needs to be a trust building that takes place. And that's usually a structured approach. Usually, you know, the best thing I would say to do is to get in with a marriage therapist who has experience working with betrayal. And typically, a marriage therapist who has experience working with betrayal does something called a therapeutic disclosure, a full disclosure, where the person who's committed the affair lists and outlines everything, and then there's usually an impact letter where the person who's been hurt then talks about how hurt they are, and then there's usually a commitment part of that where the person who's done the betraying then commits what they're going to do. But there's an expectation in there that there's this period where it takes some time to rebuild that trust, and the person who's done the betrayal needs to recognize that the person who's been betrayed is going to have triggers to them. So it makes sense that you get triggered, and I'm not condoning the harsh words that you're using, but that's probably coming out of that deep wound of betrayal, that because he's kept on going back to this other woman. She's remained in his life, and he's kept on going back to her. So if you haven't done that part, I would suggest starting there, is getting in with somebody, because the relationship problems are still there, even if, as far as you know, the betrayal is not happening. So things aren't moving forward, they're just staying stagnant at this point. So have you done any of that betrayal recovery work?
So we have been to therapy several times, but every single time he's always withheld information that I found out later, and the last time that I know of that he cheated was about 7 years ago. And when we reconciled, we started therapy. 6 months into it, it felt like we were 99% back to where we were, like from the beginning. And I felt like we were really healed. We were recommitted, moving in the same direction. And then I got an email from this woman telling me that they just had spoke the day before. He was telling her she's the one, and you know, whether or not she was lying or not, and that they had had intimacy like daily for 9 months, and despite what he told me, which was it happened once. So
that's exactly why you need that full therapeutic disclosure here, Alicia, because when that doesn't happen, everything gets reset when you find out new news. So he's sabotaged that whole process, and he needs to own that he has sabotaged the repair building because he's kept going back to this woman. So you basically need to start again all over if you want to repair your relationship, and he needs to make a major commitment to cutting this person off and having full transparency with you.
Alicia, you and your husband would definitely benefit from our Intimacy and Marriage Intensive that's happening next month. And then for you, Alicia, there's the Restore Healing After Betrayal Intensive. That's November in Washington, D.C.
Hello, it's Becky Brown. I am so excited to launch our 99 for the One Partner Initiative. Every day we hear from people all over the world who are looking for hope. They've been lost in a relationship struggle, addiction, anxiety, depression, all kinds of ways. And it reminds us of the story in Luke 15, where the shepherd that leaves the 99 to go rescue the one. And you know, we've seen God work in the lives of so many people over the years here at New Life. And we want to invite you to be part of what God is doing. 99 for the One is our partner program that you can give to the ministry on a monthly basis to make sure that we continue to reach out to the lost.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433, or newlife.com/99-for-one.
There's a place where real healing begins, where truth meets grace, and where transformation starts. New Life Recovery Groups offers a Christ-centered, supportive community for growth, healing, and restoration. Built on a proven 12-step foundation and grounded in biblical truth, these groups help bring clarity, accountability, and lasting hope for those who are ready for change. And when deeper personal guidance is needed, one-on-one coaching and counseling are available, walking with you every step of the way. Here, lives are renewed, stories are rewritten, and hope is restored. You're not alone. You're not judged.
you're welcomed into a community that believes God is still at work in your story. Take the next step toward healing. Join a New Life Recovery group today, online or in person. Visit newlife.com/groups or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Find healing, find community, find new life.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Brian Perez here with Mark Cameron and Dr. Jim Burns. And this hour is almost over, but we're going to be in the studio for a whole nother hour. So give us a call at 1-800-229-3000. Janice, we'll talk to you in a little bit. First, let's go to Mary in New York, watching us on YouTube. So we'll wave hi to Mary. Thanks for calling in today to New Life Live.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Yes, how can we help you?
I have an 18-year-old granddaughter that lives with me. She just turned 18. She's been smoking marijuana. And I told her how bad it was for her, and she still smokes it. Her and her boyfriend come over here. And I can't seem to get her to stop. And I'm not sure what to do. For her birthday, just turned her birthday, and her job gave her a bag of cocaine. So she was doing that.
Her job, you and, said?
Yep, where she works, gave it to her as a present, and she shared it with her mother, mother didn't take it, but she said, this is what they gave me, because I caught her in the bathroom with her boyfriend doing something, and I found a straw, and I'm like, what is this?
Wow. Okay. And so she doesn't live with her parents anymore. Did she? She's living with you guys full time or what?
She's been living with me for quite a few years. Her mother lives here, but's not supposed to be here. So now she'll smoke weed outside instead of coming in the house. I'm like, I need to do something.
Jim?
Mary, that's a tough situation. Why her mother isn't supposed to be living in your home? Explain that one.
Right.
Go ahead and explain.
Because she's had outburst and post-traumatic stress, mm-hmm. and she was living here not paying any rent and constantly fighting, and I've had to have the police here 5-6 times a week, almost all the time, and they're like, she's got to get out of here, because she would attack my granddaughter.
Right.
And violently, and then my grandson would get involved too, and she's not supposed to be here.
Right. So, Mary, who's parenting these kids right now? Is it you or their mother? Or are you kind of doing a co-parenting thing?
Their mother is doing it. Because she lives here, she tries to do it, but then she says nobody lets her do it.
Right.
So I'm here basically doing most of it.
Right.
Father's not around.
Right. I think the really hard thing is she's an adult. Your granddaughter's an adult. It's your home. And so I oftentimes say, you know, my home, my rules. And what's really hard for an 18-year-old daughter because again, if you say you can't smoke pot here, you can't do cocaine, which obviously should not be happening in your home, you know, she might make a real poor, even a worse choice in terms of moving out or whatever. But I think you got to hold the line somehow. And because she's making decisions that are going to affect her for the rest of her life if it continues. So we don't want to enable that kind of behavior. And so the really hard thing is, you know, we probably need a powwow with her mom. Her mom's there. Maybe you talk to her mom first, but you know, it's your home, and you have every right to say, at whatever age a child is, this is my home. Here's how we're going to do this. And if you choose not to, then you're going to have to find something else. And I know that you can play that movie down forward and you go, well, what's that going to be? Is it homeless? Is it moving in with that boyfriend? Is it, you know, horrible stories? But again, sometimes the best decision is to hold your ground, and that helps them in the long run make good and wise decisions. She's not making good and wise decisions. And plus, working at a place that gives her cocaine is crazy. Although I can't, sometimes you can't believe everything you say, you hear. So I don't, did they really give her cocaine? That's actually illegal to do and, terrible. But I'd set some firm boundaries. I'd get some counsel. I'd talk to a counselor, have that counselor help you come up with some very clear set boundaries for your home. And it's not easy for you because you love that girl and you love your daughter and you love, I think you mentioned a grandson. So there's love involved. But tough love means allowing the circumstances of their poor choices to be carried through because that's how they're going to learn. We learn more from experience, even if it's a negative experience, than we do from sometimes advice.
Mark?
Yeah. Mary, I learned this term from Jim's book, Doing Life with Your Adult Children, transitional adults. Now, she's 18, but she's a teenager. To me, it's this oxymoron to call a teenager an adult because they're a teenager, yeah. And we know that the adult brain doesn't fully get formed until about 25. And so they can legally make these adult decisions, but they're still very much dependent upon you. Now, it sounds like she's had a really hard life, and people use drugs to distract or to numb from emotional pain. And so she's learning right now what's it like to have the adult card and to be able to make decisions for herself, but she still needs a lot of help. And so there's tough love, like Jim is saying, and I don't think Jim's saying it in a harsh way, and some people use tough love in a harsh way, or just don't want to move out, and then she's got to figure it out by herself. And I don't think that's what Jim is saying. But there's also love with boundaries. And love with boundaries has that element that Jim is saying. It has the element of, there's a limit line here, and if you cross it, there's a consequence. But then there's also the other part of, I love you and I care about you, and I want to help you, and I want to find out what's going on, and I'm here to support you. But these are the rules of the house, and this is what I'm going to set. And because I don't know, I'm going to have to do some things to know. So if you want to live here, it's going to require a weekly drug test that we're going to have to do. But we're also going to go to family counseling together. And I want to learn how to be the best support for you so that I can be someone that you come to and not the drugs to distract yourself. So that it takes this element of being able to be strong on one side and with the rules, but to be also strong with the love on the other side. And so I recommend what Jim is saying. Find a family counselor who can help you through that, because mom has lost her way too, I think, here. And because of the things that have happened between her and her daughter, it sounds like the daughter doesn't really want to listen to her because she's lost her credibility. And maybe she just needs to accept that she can't parent her daughter in the way that she would have wanted to when she was young, but she may have to do some repair work now to be able to become credible if her daughter's still relying on her for some of her needs.
Right. Mary, I was thinking of a really neat story. 2 weeks ago, I was in New York speaking, and a grandma came up to me and had a very similar situation. And she said, here's what I'm willing to do. I'm willing for us to get counseling, not just the grandson, but for us to get some counseling, get some insight. And they can help us decide what to do with some of the drug use that you're doing. But I can't allow you to destroy yourself in my home like this. But I love you, and I want us to do something. The grandson didn't take it good. He was angry. Then he left for 2 weeks, and you know what? He kind of couch surfed. He was about 19. And then he came back, and he said, I'm with you, Grandma. Let's get the counseling. And the grandson was at the conference that I was at. It was for parenting. But he was there, and I met this guy. And you know what? He wasn't doing drugs. Now, that's so similar. And it was that, and it's really hard. That was hard for the grandma to say, if you don't, abide by these rules, then you're going to have to move on. And I'm not saying that's the answer. That's a boundary issue, but very important. So there's hope out there, but hope comes from us having some good structure and boundaries.
Mary, thanks for calling us today here on New Life Live. And whatever you're facing, you don't have to figure it out alone. Give us a call. We're going to be in the studio for another hour at 1-800-229-3000. We can't wait to speak with you.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. The preceding program was pre-recorded.